Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to another Wisden Cricket World Cup Daily Podcast. New Zealand continued their unbeaten run in the tournament by winning their third game in a row and beating Bangladesh by 8 wickets. Kane Williamson scored an unbeaten half century in his first international innings back since he ruptured his ACL in March, but he had to retire hurt after he was hit on the thumb by a throw from Najmal Hussain Shanto. Bangladesh have now lost their second game in a row. I'm Katia Whitney and I'm joined by Bangladesh cricket expert Tawhid Qureshi. We'll get to Williamson in a bit, but first of all, if we start with Bangladesh, they lost a wicket from the first ball of their innings, Litton Das flicking Trent Bolt down to fine leg, and then they fell to 56 for four. It's another top order collapse for them after the England match and also to a lesser extent Afghanistan. Tawhid, what do you make of their continued fragility at the top of the order?
Yeah, it just keeps on happening, doesn't it? I think there was a stat put out that this was the ninth time in their past 11 ODIs where they've lost 4 wickets before reaching 100 runs. And in fact, yeah, they were 4 down well before that today, which really sort of set them back. And yeah, it's a weird one. I suppose there's a combination of things there. They just don't seem to have a settled top order at all. So today, for example, Mehdi Hasan Miraj came in at number three. He batted number three as well in the first game, but against England, he was sort of shunted down the order. And Shantu batted number three against England and actually got a first baller against England, which is why I was thinking he probably didn't want to come in second ball of the innings, having got out himself first ball in the previous inning. So I don't know if that's the reason why Miraj was promoted. But yeah, that said, yes, just another kind of real frustratingly inconsistent kind of performance with the bat. I would say, yeah, in terms of the wickets that fell, in terms of that top order, yeah, a couple of them fell down to catches at fine leg by Matt Henry. So as you say, that first ball of the innings from Litton Das, a bit of a flick down there. I'd say, yeah, those trots were on. Miraj also got out to playing a hook, caught down fine leg as well. I'd say, yeah, in both those instances, the shots were on. They just didn't kind of play them well enough, I suppose. So, yeah, maybe there's, you know, a margin of error there, which wasn't quite in Bangladesh's favour. But, yeah, that said, There were a couple of other kind of softish dismissals as well. Glenn Phillips getting a wicket early on with kind of his part-time spin as well. So, yeah, once, as you said, those 4 wickets were kind of down, yeah, it was an uphill battle from there on in, really. And, yeah, Mushfiqur and Shakib did their best. I think they put on about 90 odds for that fifth wicket. And yeah, just as things were looking like there might be some sort of kind of mid-innings recovery or revival, Shakib seemed to go down with a bit of a calf strain of some sort and got out subsequently quite shortly afterwards. And yes, so from there on in, yeah, 2-4-5 for 9 always seemed a bit light at halfway stage. And yeah, so it proved. I think in the end, they were probably a good sort of 50 odd runs or short of a competitive target, really.
Mm. Just back on Shakib, he was your moment of the match, right? One of his shots. What was that?
Yeah. So as I was saying, he doesn't look in the best kind of physical condition to me at the moment. He seemed to be sweating loads. And it was actually quite an amusing contrast because him and Mushfiqur are virtually the same age. I think there's only a couple of months between them. But, you know, Mushfiqur was hardly breaking sweat. He's actually possibly even now, like the fittest player in their team. But that said, yeah, Shakib, I think he ran through for a sharp single. I think he's got some sort of a calf strain, so it needed quite a lot of attention. But clearly, you know, after he was sort of back on his feet, you know, he was kind of standing on one leg. So he ended up playing only for about another 4 or 5 minutes and basically smacked a couple of sixes and a four as well, I think. And it was almost like, you know, that sort of 4 or 5 minutes that you wanted to see him or, you know, another Bangladesh batter, you know, sort of playing that vein, maybe, you know, in that first power play. But yeah, it wasn't to be.
Mm. Just on that middle order and Mushfiqur in particular, his form's pretty encouraging, right? He scored 66 today in that big stand with Shakib, and that's back-to-back 50s after his half century against England. When you look at that and the rest of the middle order, okay, Jante was out pretty cheaply today, but he was good against Afghanistan. There are plenty of runs to come from them when they get it right, but it's almost that they need a couple of them to stick around rather than relying on one to bear the rest of the team along while everyone else scrambles to support them, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think, you know, we were saying off air that, you know, that exactly that point. And it seems that, yeah, consistency is obviously the key. And yeah, so many of them sort of seem to blow hot and cold. So for example, Litton Das, you know, bagged really well against England, 70 odd against them. Here he was out first ball. Similarly, Shantu bagged well against Afghanistan in that first game, hasn't really made any runs since then. So yeah, it's just that really kind of frustrating sense that, you know, we all know kind of what they're capable of individually and on their day. It's just a case of, for whatever reason, not being able to string those performances together on a consistent basis. And yeah, like you say, the team really is sort of suffering as a result.
I want to talk a little bit about the bowling as well. New Zealand were 37 for one at the end of the power play, and Mr. Fizer in particular bowled a really good opening spell. And it was only once Conway got out that the scoring rate started to increase when Daryl Mitchell and Williamson were at the crease. They've got a really good bowling attack, don't they?
They have, yeah. This is what everyone keeps saying. And yes, I think they kind of flattered to deceive a little bit in those first two games where bowling in the power play, they didn't bowl very well against England. I think today, one of the things that I think they were consciously trying to do is kind of attack the stumps a bit more. And yeah, they certainly tightened up on their lines. And yeah, as you say, they bowled really well in the power play. Mustafiz getting the early wicket of Rachin Ravindra. You know, we all know how dangerous he's been so far in this World Cup. So, yeah, really good wicket to get, I think, in the third over. And, yeah, Shorefull as well, both some real good angles with that left arm option that he gives as well. So, yeah, up front in the power play, you know, yeah, New Zealand were definitely under the cosh. And, you know, with Kane Williamson coming in so early, he seemed to take an age to get going. I think he was, you know, one off about 12, 13 balls to start with. And he is Kane Williamson. We all know what to expect from him. But, you know, yeah, fair play. He kind of soaked up the pressure and eventually kind of transferred that back onto the bowlers.
Mm. Well, let's talk about Williamson then, because his return in general was my moment of the match. So first time in 6 months that he's been playing international cricket, and a nice anecdote on commentary was that apparently he's wearing a knee brace lent to him by Mark Wood, which is a nice little bit of inter-team cooperation. He scored 78 and looked pretty nailed on for a century, but he increasingly looked uncomfortable on that knee. And then he was hit on the thumb from a shy at the stumps from Shanto while running between the wickets. And after carrying on from a couple of balls, he retired hurt. There's no update on him yet, but we'll start with the innings before the wider ramifications. It's pretty impressive for someone who's not played cricket for 6 months, but I guess that's just Kane Williamson, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It was, yeah. I mean, considering that he's hardly had any cricket at all, like you say, over the last sort of 6 month period, it was hugely impressive. I suppose, you know, it was almost the ideal game for Kane Williamson to kind of ease himself into the World Cup. It felt like it was quite a low intensity kind of game, certainly, I guess, from a New Zealand perspective going into it, 2 from 2. They didn't really have to kind of force the play at any stage of the game. Even kind of, winning the toss up front, the bowlers, bowled tidily up front. And as we were saying before, Bangladesh really kind of gifted them some wickets there. So, for Kane Williamson, I suppose, it was kind of the ideal sort of game to ease himself in. And as I said, he was under a bit of pressure, as we said. Bangladesh bowled well up front in that power play. He had to soak up a lot of dot balls just to get himself going. But we know what he does. He's a brilliant accumulator, brilliant manipulator of the field. Got to 78. I think he did bat on for a little bit after he got hit on the farm, and then with about, I think, less than 50 to get, they kind of realized there was no point in him carrying on. They were still only 2 wickets down at that stage as well. So all in all, a very satisfying return from Kane Williamson, albeit as long as the thumb isn't too badly injured.
And I guess as well, given that Ravindra actually opened today, they dropped Will Young so that they could get Kane Williamson into the side. If you're going to have someone like Ravindra at the top of the order, you need that kind of Kane Williamson type player to come in beneath them so that boom or bust player has the license to go out hitting at the top. But if you look at New Zealand, obviously they haven't had Kane Williamson before now, and they're still 2 from 2. And looking at the bowlers today as well, Lachie Ferguson got 3 wickets and they had a really well-rounded bowling performance. Tawa, do you think they look like the most complete or well-rounded side in this tournament at the minute?
I'm not going to use the old cliche about going under the radar and dark horses and all that, but they certainly look like such a good, well-oiled machine, I'd say. You look at how all the bowlers did today. They all chipped in, basically. I think only Ravindra was the only bowler to sort of go wicketless. I mean, Darryl Mitchell only bowled one over as well, but all the bowlers up front, they all contributed. Really impressed with Lachie Ferguson. That extra bit of pace definitely did for the wickets that he got from the Bangladesh batters. So they, as we always know what New Zealand do, they just kind of keep plugging away, keep soldiering on, and before you know it, they're in the semi-finals. And like we say, the only team so far to be 3 from 3. Looking very, very good.
Well, they've got Afghanistan next up, but moving on to what's going to happen tomorrow, the game that everyone's waiting for, it's India-Pakistan. It feels like the whole tournament so far has been built up to this match. Rohit Sharma said in a press conference today that Shubman Gill is 99% on to play after recovering from dengue fever. Both sides are also unbeaten in the tournament so far, with India having that amazing win against Afghanistan on Wednesday. What's your prediction for how that game's going to go down tomorrow, Toyed?
Blimey, don't put me on the spot. my only hope is that it's just a good close game. I think what we don't want to see is something too one-sided. I guess other than maybe the Sri Lanka Pakistan game, we haven't seen a proper kind of nail biter, and how fitting it would be if that kind of game goes to the wire. I think if Shubman Gill is back in the India team, it will be really interesting to see how he goes. We've seen the return of Kane Williamson today, and that being such a successful return, who's to say that something similar might not happen for Shubman Gill tomorrow. I think India probably will edge it. I just think, looking at their all-round, kind of balance of the team and basically just how convincing they've been so far in their wins, it's been pretty awesome from them so far.
Definitely. I'm with you. I think India are going to win tomorrow, but I think it could be a really close match. That's all we've got time for today, but there'll be another daily pod for you tomorrow after that India-Pakistan game. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.